The Geek News Central Podcast for Tuesday, February 1st, 2005. Aloha, everyone. This is Todd, the Geek from Geek News Central, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island located in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. It is absolutely pouring outside my window. I don't know if you can hear it, but the Hawaiian islands over the last 2 or 3 days have received record amounts of rain. It's been quite amazing, to say the least. When we first moved to Hawaii about 6 or 7 years ago, the island was actually going through a drought period, and there was parts of the island that were actually, you know, almost looked like a desert. And over the last 2 or 3 years, it's the weather has changed, and typically this is our winter season, just like it is back in the mainland, in the lower 48. And this, you know, I guess it all depends on this El Nino, or, you know, whatever effect they're having. And I don't think it's an El Nino year, but whatever the opposite of an El Nino is. Hawaii gets a lot of rain, and on Saturday we had 6 inches. Yeah, that's right, 6 inches in one day, so that was pretty amazing. But anyway, it's glad you're with us today, and this is show number 35, and I'm quite happy that we've hit the 35 mark and are marching towards show 50. Now, I've had quite a busy day, and I was not able to download the rest of the voicemails. So what I'm going to do for the contest that I was running, what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend the contest until Thursday, or actually to the Friday show. So if you still want to get in on it, all you have to do is call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Leave a comment about the show, what you'd like to see improved, and I think we've got about 20 or 21 voicemails so far, and I'm going to go through those and determine a winner. And what will happen there is the winner will get a nice crispy $20 bill from yours truly. I had something happen in here in the office about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was sitting here doing some work, and I typically work with two monitors. I have a laptop on the desk, and then I have a monitor, regular CRT monitor, that sits to the right of me. And below that, down by my feet, I have a web server down there. Then I have a file server, and over here on the corner, I got the Mac Mini set. But they'll all go through a KVM switch. But I'm sitting here one day, and this monitor popped. I heard a big pop, and smoke actually came out of the top of it. I'd had the monitor for quite a while. It was a 17-inch CRT, and I got my money's worth out of it. It was no big deal, so I unplugged it and got it unhooked and, you know, cleaned up the cobwebs from behind it from where it was stored. And I've got had one more monitor in my closet, but I had retired that monitor in lieu of letting the kids use it. I was going to have them, that was going to be a monitor for one of their computers. But it the brightness on it was way down. So I put it on the desk anyway for just to be as a fill-in for me here. And the wife was surfing the internet here, and she's checks out these some of these Hawaii online ads. And there was a guy that was selling 2 21-inch CRT monitors for about $100, and I said, oh, that is just too good to be true. So Saturday in the pouring rain, I drove over to this guy's place and picked up two 21-inch monitors for $100. And I've got a digital 21-inch monitor sitting here on the desk. It's just a huge honker. Of course, someday I'll go to a flat screen, but when you can pick up some seriously good monitors like this for basically Trump change, I'll continue to snatch up people's stuff that they're basically throwing away. And then I had to kind of laugh too, because, and I just got to tell you this, there was a another ad. As a matter of fact, while I was picking these monitors up, she says, hey, some guy's got some computer stuff. He's going to, whoever wants to come get it, it's going to be free. So I called the guy up and I said, hey, what you got? And he basically proceeded to tell me what he had. And the conversation goes on for like 5 minutes of all the stuff he has. And I'm like, well, I've got a Volvo. And what it is, it's a Volvo wagon, station wagon. I had that with me. I said, I've got a couple of monitors in the car, but I put the seats down and, you know, make a little more room. I said, would that be enough room to get the stuff that you got that you want to give away? And he goes, no, you're going to need a truck. I'm like, well, my wife's got a minivan. Will that work? And he's like, yeah, minivan will work. Take the seat out. The seats out. So I got back to the house, and in the rain, I took the seats out of the minivan and put some cardboard down and drove over to this guy's place and backed into his garage. Oh, you know, every once in a while, the geeks score the mother load. This guy, he filled my minivan, and I had my son with me, and he was all excited. There had some of the stuff that he was given was gaming stuff. There was a Thrustmaster, a real nice Thrustmaster, you know, one of those sets that you can do for driving cars, and the joystick and the whole nine yards, along with just boxes and boxes and monitors, and not monitors, but computer cases. I got it home, and I spent Sunday afternoon sorting through it, and I probably took about 75% of the stuff that he gave me, and it went right in the dumpster. But the other 25%, well worth the trip over to this guy's house and picking this stuff up, even though a lot of junk was in intermixed with it. I did was able to get 4 or 5 boxes of good stuff, and I kind of did a running tally on the totals between cables and SCSI cards and everything else that he just gave away, and I probably got $3,000 or $4,000 worth of stuff. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. Actually not temporarily, the Tech Podcast, TECH Podcast with an S.com website is up and running partially. The main page still doesn't show a lot, but what we've done, if you go to techpodcast.com/DP, you can get to our Drupal test setup that we put up. And what I'm going to be doing there is adding tech podcasters' websites and putting information up and aggregating their content. So what I'm looking for, and this is basically kind of the start of what we're doing some experimentation with the Tech Podcast website, is to determine if this package is going to be sufficient for what we need to do. And if it is, we'll probably go full force into it. But I'm looking for somebody that knows Drupal. And if you are a Drupal fanatic, as far as using that package, which is available at www.drupal.org, let us know, and I may want to work with you to help improve what we've already set up there. The main site, the main page site, is going to be put up a little later this week. That's still being worked on. I guess that's it. Now, here I am, 9 minutes and 41 seconds. I'm still dribbling away about just stuff that's going on, but I did want to talk to you a little bit. Many of you know that I was injured last year, June, with I had a compression fracture of my L1 vertebrae, and I've got some new steel in my back. So tonight, or actually, I came home from work today. For the first time in many, many months, I was just in agonizing pain. So I called my doctor and I asked him what I should do. And I'm not really one to take pain meds arbitrarily. And sent my wife to the pharmacy, and she picked up a small prescription, and I was able to take a pain pill tonight because it was just, oh, you know, those of you out there that have back problems, when it strikes, it strikes. And the area that I was, I've basically been given a clean bill of health. Everything has healed up. I'm shorter than what I was before because of the compression fracture. But the nerve endings and that kind of stuff that goes around where this injury occurred have not completely settled down, and every once in a while I get in pain, and tonight was pure agony. So I am on the podcast tonight, courtesy of a little pain med, so hopefully I'm not too out of it. But anyway, that's kind of where we're going, and hopefully tomorrow I'll be back to my normal self. But hey, guess what is February 2nd? It's Groundhog Day. And for, I don't know if they have Groundhog Day outside the United States, but that is a once-a-year occurrence that happens, and they're going to pull the old groundhog out of his cage and see if he sees a shadow or not. So I'll go ahead and put up the link to the website, groundhog.org. You can check it out. It's the official site of the Punxsutawney, I can't even pronounce it. You guys all know about it. But go over there and check out the groundhog.org website. And of course, you're going to want to watch the simulcast that they're going to have up on their site. And of course, all the news media will be there for the big deal on Wednesday. Okay, I've got, let's see what I've got for news items here today. Did I cover everything? Yeah, I covered everything I wanted to talk to initially. There's been a lot of news articles coming out about podcasting in the last week. One that I saw that was pretty interesting was from Mercury News, and it goes in talks about the Rock and Roll Geek Show, and that is a great podcast. If you guys are not listening to or have not listened to the Rock and Roll Geek Show, I'll put a link up to his site tonight. Michael Butler over there does a great job. But goes into, basically talks about some of the things going on in podcasting right now. Some of it is information that you already know, but it's good to see that the buzz is still happening on podcasting. Okay, there's a article out by Greg Hughes. Actually, it's an open letter to Microsoft. And he basically tells Microsoft to go ahead. This is in response to Microsoft's announcement that they're not going to patch pirated software copies. So if you're basically in the near future, you're going to have, I think starting next month, you're going to have to go through, you're going to have to authenticate your version of Windows, including giving your serial number and looking at the sticker and making sure it's the right color and a bunch of different things to get through their authentication process. But if you fail that authentication process, he is suggesting that Microsoft goes ahead and allows them to patch. But here's where the twist is. Here's how to make it work. Okay, I'm going to go down here. All right, patch the pirated computer. Update the pirated computer's firewall to control two-way traffic. Then turn that firewall on. Turn it on all the way, like as in nothing. Nothing in, nothing out. Stop all the network traffic on those machines and put pirated in all four corners of the screen like you do with safe mode. Heck, for that matter, only allow users to boot into safe mode if it's pirated. This is a suggestion to Microsoft. I don't agree, really don't. But his point on this is that he is an IT professional, and he spends a lot of time defending his network against machines that are out there that are, he says he defends machines out there that are not patched. Well, And it doesn't make no sense why he wants to do it this way. Why he wants Microsoft to do it this way. You know, typically, people that are running free software, they're probably going out there and getting the patches. Maybe not. But, yeah, interesting take. And I doubt Microsoft will do that. It's just too much bad PR. Microsoft also has announced that they are not going to bundle the Microsoft Network Desktop Search Engine with Windows. And it goes into some reasons why, and I can kind of understand the reasoning that they are not going to do that. They did an interview, eWeek did an interview, and actually there was a panel that was done, and Mark Carosi, I guess, the General Manager of Information Systems and Merchant Platform Product Marketing for MSN, said that the federal antitrust battle Microsoft waged with the government has made the company think twice about what technology it can add to the operating system. So he goes on to say that basically Microsoft is looking at everything with a fine-tooth comb and basically digging into it, making sure that it's not going to be causing many more antitrust issues. And basically, product development goes on with one developer and three lawyers, and yeah, it's pretty sad that things have gotten to that point. But, you know, they kind of brought it on themselves. You know, a lot of companies were destroyed because some of their actions early on. And, you know, I think I agree that probably they shouldn't bundle the desktop search with Windows because, I'll be honest with you, I'm using Google's desktop search, and even though I had some problems early on with it, I'm still very, very happy and wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, unless they come out with some vast improvements to their search engine for the desktop, then, yeah, maybe I'd switch. But so far, I think Google's got them beat. And, yeah, let me know what you guys think on that topic. Okay, what else we got here? Oh, TiVo is going to finally release the API for its player. And it's going to allow, it's basically a Java-based kit. And let's see here, the company expects to release three applications with a kit. One will display a television weather information gathered from a broadband-connected PC. Other applications include a RSS reader and a game. So they're going to be basically adding some functionality to TiVo, and software developers can do that. And the TiVo is based on a Linux-based system, so it's already been, you know, basically good ground for people that already wanted to hack around into their TiVos, but now they're just releasing the tie points that developers are going to need to be able to make changes. So, could I see a TiVo that goes out on the internet, pulls down my RSS feeds, including my podcast, and delivers that to my TiVo? I don't know if I want to listen to my podcast via the net, but it sure would be a cool thing to do video. So it's going to open the door for an easy way to get video into a TiVo from an RSS feed. Yeah, this could be big, folks. Really could. Now, some are saying it may be a little bit too late. TiVo may have missed the boat and should have done this earlier. We'll see what develops. Skype is in the news again, and for those of you that are using Skype, you can always Skype me at Geek News Central. That's one word. And basically, the article says that Skype creeps under phone giants' radar. And basically, what's happened is the adoption rate, the people that have been adding Skype to their computers, has been going on at a frantic pace. And quite honestly, I do about 75% of my phone calls now through Skype, PC to PC. Obviously, it does not replace my landline completely because not everyone I talk to has a PC or is using Skype. So, You know, between Skype and between voice IP services that have been out there already, like Vonage, it seems like there is going to be a, they're having an impact. Now, there's been some announcements today of some acquisitions, and I'm going to go into that in a little bit. But, you know, the phone industry or telephone communication industry better get busy and try to keep up, or they're just going to get smashed. I think they're already getting smashed. You know, my phone bill today, you know, this brings up a topic that we were having earlier today at work. I want you guys to think back. Let's go back to, let's see, this is 2005. Let's go back to 1991. Let's go back 14 years. And the reason I use 1991 is because the average person in 1991 had never heard of the internet. There was no such thing as email. If you wanted to send a, if you were overseas or if you were, wanted, you know, even in the United States and you didn't want to incur a large phone bill, or you would have to sit down and write a letter, wait for a week or 7 days for that letter to arrive, and then 7 or 10 days for it to be returned to you. You know, the reply. People were using the telephone calling, but, you know, still a lot of older people did their communication typically by letter. I know my grandmother on my dad's side still uses, still writes letters on a regular basis. She is not an adopter of technology, but my parents are, and they are in their 60s, so... you know, and it took them a while to adopt, but look where we've come, you know, in 13 or 14 years, and, you know, I can be on the other side of the world, and I can essentially talk to anyone, anywhere, as long as I've got a good connection to the internet. So, hey, that's something to think about, and, or, you know, where are we going to be in another 13 or 14 years? I can't even imagine. Engadget is reporting that iRiver is cutting the price to their MP3 player. That's you know, it always happens. I got me an iRiver MP3 player in December, so that I could use the device as a recording backup for my computer. And as a matter of fact, we forgot to turn it on today, so if the computer crashes, I'll lose the show. But so far, knock on wood, the computer has been pretty good. But, you know, they've cut their prices to compete with the iPod Shuffle. And I don't know if I announced it in the last podcast or not, but the iRiver MP3 players have... there's a new firmware release out there that actually makes them to be recognized as USB drives. They did do some changes to the recording bit rates that some people aren't real happy with, but I'm real happy that they've made it USB capable instead of having to go through their proprietary software. Now, if you do record something on an iRiver directly, you still have to use their proprietary software to convert that file format to a MP3. Let's see here. eWeek is running an article about the teen that unleashed the blaster worm. He's been sentenced to 1.5 years in prison. Doesn't say anything about any penalties, but, you know, he's going to jail, folks. 19-year-old has been basically convicted, and he will have to, he is going to have to pay some restitutions, and he'll be under supervision for 3 years following his release from prison. So I'm sure there's going to be some restrictions on his computer access. So this virus and worm stuff just doesn't pay. You know, this kid's going to go to jail, and he's got a mark on his record for the rest of his life. I have to, there's a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Jenick. He has a column in O'Reilly's Developer Weblogs, and he has wrote up about The Shuffle Continues. It's basically about, you know, the ongoing process of you know, the head geek in the family, which would, in my family, is me. Every time I buy a new PC, then I take my older computers and I pass them down to either the wife or the kids. And, you know, that's the way it is, fellas. It kind of happens that way. And I'm sure the ladies that are out there are going to say, well, that's, I get the best computer in my house. But, or you have to end up buying two good ones. He helped a neighbor out while he was doing some shuffling of computers and helped this guy out with some RAM and basically got him set up so it wasn't full of spyware and stuff. But he goes in here and lists some pretty cool, he gets some recommendations on some of the software he uses, and he was able to put in you know, a bunch of open source stuff. And so give this guy a pretty equitable computer to use with some good tools. He used OpenOffice, which is available at openoffice.org, and he put on Firefox and Thunderbird and some miscellaneous items like Adobe Reader and Macromedia's Flash Player. Of course, he put Java on, but you know, it just kind of talks about how a typical geek helps out their neighbors or friends or family, and some ways that you can do that without asking them for their credit card to go out and have to register the latest and greatest spyware or antivirus software, because he did load Microsoft's limited spyware package on there, and he also loaded Computer Associates' 12-month free trial of Easy Armor. So, you know, hey, it's a way to help a neighbor out, and you really don't have to ask him for any money. So if you've got somebody in that situation where you need to update a computer or help somebody out, check this article. Okay, SBC is going to acquire AT&T for $16 billion. This has got to be like the news of the week. You know, AT&T, hello, AT&T is huge. And I thought their valuation would be higher than $16 billion. But apparently it isn't. All right. We had a little bit of skip on the recording there, so I know that, you know, that's, I think that's why, I think I'm running too many things in the background right now, and I'm going to have to stop doing that. The Adobe Edition, apparently when things get loaded down on the PC a little bit too much, has a tendency to skip, and I noticed it on the last show that we had a few spots that, I actually went in and had to edit for the first time because we had had some chattering in the actual recording. All right. I heard about this hoax a long time ago. For some reason, when XP Central was talking about it, apparently there was a coffee boycott that was prompted by an email message saying that some Marines in Iraq had asked Starbucks for some coffee samples. And apparently the response that Starbucks sent back was false, and it basically started that kind of a mini revolt that was based upon an incorrect assumption. Now, a couple of you sent me emails here in the last couple of weeks of mispronouncing words. I called Cyrus versus Sirius. And I've done it a few other times, too, so I apologize if I mispronounce companies' names or product names. That's just the way it goes. Hey, this is a podcast, and as much as I would like to say I'm a professional broadcaster or podcaster, I'm just a geek, you know, and things happen. Okay, there's some discussion on, those of you that are web bloggers or probably have heard about the no-follow tag that Google announced. And it looks like people are kind of split down the middle of the fence on whether or not no-follow is a good thing or a bad thing. There's a new website out called nonofollow.net, and they're basically against it. And they give 12 reasons why, and I'll just read through a couple of these. And I'll let you guys go check them out yourself. But 12 reasons against nofollow. Number one, nofollow does not prevent comment spam. Two, nofollow is semantically incorrect. Three, nofollow harms the connections between websites. 4. Nofollow is not useful for humans, just for search engines using PageRank or similar techniques. So, you know, obviously they got a case, and I don't know if they're right or they're wrong, but Robert Scoble weighs in on the other side of the house. Basically, he kind of counters some of their things. I'm just going to read through his first 4 items as basically a response to the nofollow website's claims. 1, nofollow wasn't going to prevent comment spam. It is going to remove much of the incentive to do it in the first place. 2, semantics. Who says they're incorrect? 3, harms a connection? Huh? It makes them stronger. Why? Because now I can link to things that don't deserve the search engine juice, which basically he can link to a lot of stuff, and then he doesn't have to worry about giving someone artificial rank because he's linked to it. 4, not useful for humans. Oh, there someone goes again, calling Scoble a non-human. I already have used it, and we use it again when needed. So basically, he goes through and counters every one of their 13 points. I'll let you guys go check those out yourself. Like, of course, I'll have the links up for you on the Geek News Central website, which is located at www.geeknewscentral.com. All right. Hey, Daypop. I use Daypop to check out kind of the latest new news. They've been down for a couple of days. Does anybody know what's going on with Daypop? If you've heard anything, let us know. Great service, and we've actually donated to their service before to help them out. So hopefully they're just having server problems. 6 Apart over at the company that produces TypePad and Movable Type they're getting ready to release a new site design. And they actually are trying to get a little better branding. So I think it's pretty cool that they're going to do that. Nice to see that happen. And their site has not had a facelift in a long, long, long time. Okay, a little bit of info here for those of you that are running Linux or OS X. There's a product out there, and I've heard about it before, and I really haven't had time to play with it. It's called, or actually it's a project called Wine, W-I-N-E, and basically it allows Linux and OS X users to run Windows applications underneath the Linux and OS X environment. And it's basically kind of a Windows hack. It's not truly Windows. But what this guy wanted to do, and this is on the NewsForge website, is he basically wanted to run Wine with a Windows environment on his Linux machine, and then purposely infect himself, or infect Wine, with viruses. And he basically went in and infected the machine on purpose with 5 different viruses, and he talks about the effects it had on Wine and on Linux, and I think you'll be very surprised to see the results. And he just basically sums it up, Wine has a long way to go before it's truly Windows compatible. And I think that's based upon the lack of results he got from his informal test. But anyway, put the link up to both the NewsForge article and the Wine website. Got turned on to a new search engine today. It's a Yellow Pages like I've really never seen before either. It brings up images and all kinds of interesting stuff. It's A9.com, and they must be getting hit pretty hard because the website was a little slow. So go check that out. Of course, do a little search for Geek News, and you'll see that we're second on the list underneath /dot. But one thing it's got cool is you can put a link, you can put your mouse over the site info, and okay, here's /dot/.org. About this site, traffic rank is 1,339. Sites that link here, 5,436. Speed for the site to load is slow, 2.3 seconds online since 1 February 2000. Now, let's go down to Geek News Central and look at our site info. And this is discouraging, but I don't agree with some of the stats. About this site, traffic rank 154,323. Sites that link here, 74. Speed not available online since April 15, 2002. Now, they got that date about right since it's been online. But site that linked to me is way over 74. I think it's more like, I think the last TechnoRatty search I saw was around 500. But anyway, you know, can't complain. You guys are here listening to me, so obviously you're checking the site out. But anyway, A9.com, and check that out. Do some searches on your own sites or some of your favorite search terms and see what you get there. I don't know what engine they're using to do the web results with. It kind of looks like maybe Google, but we'll see. Now, the Register has an interview that all web bloggers or anyone that is concerned about security should read. It's interview with a link spammer. And I've been kind of waiting for something like this to come out for a while. So if you're interested in seeing what link spammers are doing, and these basically are the guys that come in and hit our comment sections in our web blogs, and the trackback, basically the trackback mechanisms. It goes in and talks about the money he's making, and the guy's driving a Jaguar, folks. So obviously this link spam makes a lot of money. But I did find something very interesting on the second page of the article. Let's see if I can go to that page without getting an issue with the computer here. He says, why does he do this? Why? Because the demand exists. The reality is that people purchase Viagra. They require porn. They gamble online. When people do that, there's some money being made. And if this sounds suspiciously like an ends justify means argument to you, it does to us too. But Sam doesn't mind. He's just adding a few thousand more blogs to his list and writing the next fan run. Nothing personal. Well, that kind of ended kind of funny in the paragraph there. But in a sense, what this guy's doing is he's saying, hey, there's a need out there. People are looking for Viagra, looking for porn, looking for gambling. I gotta, hello. If you need Viagra, go to your doctor. Two, if you want to gamble, there's plenty of gambling sites you can find without getting there via my website from a comment spam. This is pure greed. And he goes after, looks like he goes after 100,000 web blogs at a time when he does this. So, anyway, interesting article. Go ahead and check it out yourself. Okay, Google is now a certified approved domain name register. I'll be curious to see what they're going to do with that. Let's see if they're going to go after like GoDaddy or go after Yahoo or someone like that that's already been doing that. I'd like to see them come out with like $2 domains. I'd buy 100. But anyway, I think that's about it today for us, folks. We're at 39 minutes. I want to thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast. And, of course, I've been your host, Todd. And you can reach me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Or you can call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Leave your comments about the show. And on Friday, I will announce the winner. And you'll get that winner will get a crisp $20 bill by me. Again, if you're a person that uses Drupal, hey, I need your help. And we look forward to talking to you again on Friday. And hopefully I won't be drugged up and on pain meds like I am tonight. And but anyway, we will see you Friday. Thanks, folks. And no music tonight. Take care. Bye-bye.